Before we can attempt to answer how you sell a birthright, you have to first determine whether you can. First of all, Rashbam tells us that Yaakov did not sell a bowl of Nezid Adoshim for a birthright. Rashbam says that the grammatical form, V'Yaakov Machar La'Esav, that the it's for, as opposed to it says V'Yaakov Nosan La'Esav Lechem Nezid Adoshim, that was simply to conclude the sale. What he actually gave him in return for the Bechorah is not mentioned by the Torah. Right? He wasn't taking advantage of a very hungry and tired brother who thinks he's going to die. This is a canard raised against Yaakov by many people who hate Yaakov and his descendants. Yaakov sold him something of great value, maybe his rock collection, his baseball card collection, or some other thing of great value that the Esav wanted for Yaakov for a long time. And Yaakov gave him the food to cement the deal, as it were, and as it was common in the ancient Near East. So, if you look in the text here, it's just before the first paragraph ends in source number one. Right? Esav comes from the Sodeh; it's his place. Uhu Ayef. Right? Chazal, very descriptive. Rashi brings down some of it about what terrible things Esav did that day. Right? So Rashi presents a picture of Esav that is irredeemable. No one should second guess that Rivka did harm to Jewish history by separating these brothers. Right? Maybe Yitzchak heard the oracle that Rivka was told when she was pregnant and disagreed as to the pshat of what Barav Ya'avod Sa'ir even means. If it means the older shall serve the younger, which is what Targum says, what Rashi says, it should have said HaBachor Ya'avod Sa'ir. And it's possible that Yitzchak, this is from the Das HaKeni Balei Tosfos, it's possible that Yitzchak understood Zerav Ya'avod Sa'ir, meaning that something great will work its way to the younger one. And Tala Shemayim Shemane Aretz Rav Dugon Nesirosh Yavdu Chamim Yishkachavu Lachavim Hivegir Elachacha Yishkachavu Lachavim B'nemecha. None of that precludes the Rav that Yitzchak thinks should go to Yaakov all along. I just think that Esav, who puts food on the table, deserves the gashmius that is part of this bracha. After all, at the end of the parasha, Yitzchak does give Yaakov the bracha he was always supposed to get. V'yitin lecha es berkas Avraham, l'chol zarecha itach, l'ushtecha es eretz megurecha, sh'nesan l'kim l'Avram. Mentions Avram twice, mentions the land. Nothing in gashmius. Yitzchak feels, let me divide my sons that will love each other, one will protect the other, one will serve the other, but they'll be like a Yisachar and Zvulun kind of relationship, and I don't want to lose one of them. I think that I see Esav, I know who Esav is, I trust that I can work with his kaisos to give him what I think he deserves. And Rivka seems not only knows better, she knows how to manipulate the situation, and she feels that when God told me while I was pregnant, Barav Yavot Sa'ir, that Yaakov needs not only the Ruchnius Bracha, he also needs the Gashmius Bracha. Ramban reads Sefer Bereishis that if Jews are given equal opportunity and we succeed, that's because the Torah's observance of Torah breeds success. But if we do have that great bracha, think of whatever neighborhood you live in now, and say that yeah, that's Jews do pretty well there, whether it's Englewood, whether it's Teaneck, whether it's Five Towns, whether it's the West Side of Manhattan, whether it's, I don't know, you choose your neighborhood. In Washington Heights, where Jews bring prosperity to any neighborhood where they can flourish, so they and then what we know with the Goyim say afterwards, Lech Mei Manu, Yat Samta Mimenu Me'ol. So Rivka, Ramban says that it's because of Rivka's bracha. Rivka vouchsafed for us the bracha of Gashmius together with our Ruchnius. So she's always looking over it. Whenever we write a check, Rivka's looking over our shoulder. Are you spending your money on the things that I went the extra mile to get for you? Because it comes at a price. Right? Okay. If you just want to write down a beautiful source on this, the Kli Yakar on the Pasuk Pnu Lachem Tzafona. Just before we came into Israel, Hashem says, go north. And he says, just don't ever show off your wealth to Bnei Esav, because they will always consider that what you have came at their expense. So Ayin Shom. All right, so Yaakov says, "Vayomer Yisabel Yaakov, haliteni nami na Adom Adom Azek Yoyef Anochi Al Kain Kras Shmo Edom." Esav is lives for the moment, and he sees this red stuff. To him, red is his color. He sees it in the field all day, right? So to us, red later on in our history became the color of life after death. As Paraduma becomes an important color for us. For Esav, it's the color of death. So he says, his name is Edom as a result. Vayomer Yaakov, Michrach Hayom es Bechoras Secholi. So Rashbam said there's a lot missing here. The Torah is Bederech Katzar. And the discussion over their future, and it ends up here as Michrach Hayom. That word Chayom is a little problematic. And Esav explains why he thinks that nothing in the future matters to me. I live for the moment. Ibn Ezra says because Yitzchak was broke, he squandered all of Avram's wealth. And then Esav regretted this after Yitzchak improved his portfolio 100-fold in the next Aliyah. Right? So that's where Esav started to change his mind. But for the moment, he says the Bechor means nothing to me. So he says, V'yomer Yaakov, Hishavali kayom v'yishavalo. In chorus, Bechor Soli Yaakov. So the question is, how can you sell something that doesn't exist yet? Davar shelo bal olam. There's no shortage of Gemaras on this topic. I must admit there is a large treatment of this in the Minchas Osher that I am purposely avoiding. He says that he has a whole chiddush. Thank you for mentioning it just now. But I purposely avoided this. I don't want to just prepare something that's cooked up for me that anyone here can read. But if you want to check out the Minchas Osher and Parshas Toldos, and he has a chiddush for how someone can purchase a bechorah that doesn't exist with different types of kinyanim that. He takes a direction that's interesting because his teretz of a kinyan chalipin is on the gavra, not on the chefza, would be a good teretz for bizman hazeh. A lot of the other terutzim given for Yaakov Kedut is, what's the big deal? It's before Matan Torah. The limudim in the Gemara for not selling a davar shelo bala olam is based on psukim in the Torah. This is before the Torah was given. What's the question? All right, but still, let's pursue the inyanim. And see that the direction I'll take now for 5-10 minutes is the bread and butter of Parushim, like the Netziv, the Meshech Chochma. And we start with the Tshuvas HaRivash. The Rivash wonders, how can you sell something that doesn't exist yet? Ok, see number two. Kosav Risa Kasu B'Shem HaRav Ibn Yaakov Ben HaRosh. That's the tour. Shekosav B'Shem Aviv HaRosh. Temekana Davar Shalom Bala Olam. Imnishpa al kocha shekona hakona. This is based on the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia, which is a source shortly afterwards. And the Ktzos that you have here is source number 3. And the Ktzos cites a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvus that nachla habolo lo odom imokom acher. Right? Person to be matne odom aleha shol yirashena. I'm just reading a few words here. That if you have a nachla that he does not yet have, I expect one day to have an achla after 120. It's not mine now. It's my father's. Right? I don't have the right to spend it for him. Again, the Bava Basra talks all about this. But what if I decide that I go to, this is now the Gemara after this, source number 4, I tell a person, I am selling you my Yerusha, which I expect to get shortly. I want to say my father should live to 120. But let's say Reuven sees that Yaakov is calling his sons together in Parshas Vayechi, and he says, I expect to not to be here much longer. He's already in hospice. And he tells, and Reuven sells his Yerusha for a field. So he says, Gemara Bavitzia Dav Tezayin talks about this. You have the whole daf there. It's just in the middle of the page. And the Gemara says that it is not a sale. You cannot sell your Yerusha that you don't have yet. But there are two caveats. If you say, Hare ani mocher es my Yerusha for that field, no sale. But if you say, Hare ani mocher hayom, put the word hayom, it adds such a strength to this. I would compare it, if you will, to the Gemara at the end of Bava Basra that says that if a man wants to makne, something that is the unborn child of another man. He is not, it's a davar shebala olam. But his unborn child is a davar shebala olam, because he made such a connection to it. So when you say it's his child, it's a davar shebala olam, it's something in his, inside his wife, and therefore he has a connection much more than an unborn child of another man. So we say michrach hayom, you make the, and the Gemara says, and if you say b'lashon shvua, so it becomes something that connects so significantly to you that is now transferred to a davar shebala olam. You see where this is going. Yaakov says to him, michrach hayom es b'chora sechali, and then he says he shavali. He makes him swear, right? So these two really fit the Gemara. So says the Rivosh, so says his Ketos. And we find this also in Shalas Shetshuvas Binyan Shlomo that they did not give you here. The Yeshuas Malko, these are just some of the Achronim that discussed this Inyan. And that's about all. I don't think we need to pursue this any further. Halachically, the Paskin Halacha, source number 5, please take a look at the Ramah. He talks about being machne davar shelo bal olam. Look at the end of the second line. Masha tilet behema zu lekloni o shama masha tilet parasi o shifasi mocholach o nosun lach lo mar klum. Afilu haisa hapara o hashivcha miuberes lo kana klum. Remember, it's only a man's own wife that he can say this child, this unborn child, if it's a girl, is mekudeshes to your son. It's his wife. It's a davar shebala olam for him. He doesn't connect to these other things though, right? Now we'd say that when it comes to a tree, mihugabe ilan. I'm not sure if he quoted enough of this Ramah from. Oh, yeah, it's on the next page. Okay. Ramah's Lashon is afapi she'ein odam makne davar shelo bala olam, im nishba l'kayim amekach, afapi shelo bala olam tzarech l'kayim shvuaso. And that's why Yaakov insisted that Esav should swear on it. Okay. All right, so I think that's maybe we okay. Any comments on this? Okay. Now this one last word from the Avnei Nezer is that he says that since before Matan Torah, this is I don't have this on the page. Yeshua's Malko, he says that since there was a cruise that says Vayevay Bakur Yom Hashishi, all of Maaseh Bereishis stands on whether B'nai Yisrael say Naaseh V'Nishma under Har Sinai. So until then, when it comes to any, there's no such thing as being Makne Davar Shelo Bala Olam that is a problem. So that's a little different than the Minchas Asher's answer. Minchas Asher's answer is good even after Matan Torah. Okay, so that's the answer to our first question. The answer is that Yaakov can sell the birthright. It's just that Rashi tells us, "Bedin hayanotel Yaakov es habachora." Right. So Rashi tells us a biological fact that maybe you can Google now if you have a computer. You can't prove, but you can't disprove that when two twins, even talking about fraternal twins, they don't seem to be identical twins. That when two fraternal twins are conceived, the one that is born first is conceived second. Rashi says that in the beginning of the parasha, "Bedin hayanotel Yaakov es habachor." That's how he got his name. He's holding on to his brother's heel, kibayochol, by saying, "Hey, I got to get out first. This is a nation that has a law of bechora, and I want to take nachas shnei olamim." Now, Rashi says, he introduces that perush by saying, "Al korcha hamikra hazeh merdor sheni." You must insist on darshening this. Why? Rashi's grandson Rashbam writes, "Hayu misnanim besoch me'ekederach ubrim." Anybody here have twins ever? Right? Your wife probably, you know, with one child you can have a lot of kicking around. So why does Rashi insist that what Rivka experienced is al korcha chamikuzem v'dushuni? Rashi gives the answer. He says, al korcha chamikuzem v'dushuni, shestam maritzitza zu shetomar imkein lomazeh anochi. It's not a question just, why was Rivka in such pain? She waited 20 years for this. What do you think, Sarah wasn't in pain at 89, having being pregnant? The question is not, what was the pain like? The question is, why does the Torah give Rivka an editorial about what it felt like to be pregnant? It must have been something different than all other pregnancies that human race has ever experienced. Because no one else has ever given birth to Esav. So that's, I said that before, that's the picture that Rashi wants to create of Esav. Esav is irredeemable. Edom would not have been any different had Esav gotten the bracha of Gashmius. They would have still been murderers, they still would have had an Amalek as a grandson, only they would have had the bracha of Gashmius. Now the Ramban in his Perush to Vayishlach asks, so if Yaakov got the bracha, why are we so subservient to the Christians? Right? I would say an answer to that question is that Christian is not Edom. Edom were totally wiped out in the 2nd century BCE, and Christianity has nothing to do with Edom. It's just a convenient association. But I'm sure the Ramban believed that Christianity is Edom, and probably Rashi did too. The Christians believed it. That's why they censored all of our Perushim to Daniel, Ovadia, Yirmiyahu, Perek Mentes, and all the books that in Tanakh that speak about the other fall of Edom. So the point is that Rashi felt that he pictures a picture of Esav as someone from not only from the birth but even from before birth, as someone who is so antithetical to what Yisrael is and what Yaakov is that no one should second guess what Rivka does at the end of the parasha. Rashi's own grandson seems to have a different approach. So this has a lot of the Perushim to the beginning of Toldos is connected to what Nebuchadnezzar, the Jews were suffering through with the Crusades and the thumb of Christendom over them. But what is Rashi saying? Bedin hayano tel Yaakov v'sabracha. Surely Rashi knows that the halacha goes after birth, not conception. In fact, there's a very famous Vilna Gaon that Rav Chaim says is a Talmid Toeh. On the pasuk Kitienu Shtei Noshim Achas Ahuvah V'Chasnua, and then it says V'Yoldu Lovonim Ahuvah V'Chasnua. Why say it that way? What? First of all, why do you even have to repeat V'Yoldu Lovonim Ahuvah V'Chasnua? Who else are you talking about? Right. So it seems that the Ahuvah is giving birth first. Right. Second question is Tisonei Shalach, says Malachi. What is a man doing married to someone he hates? Right? Now, it's true that Leah is called a snua with respect to Rachel, but okay. Third question is, why did the Torah tell you, lo yuchal lebaker pnei ahava pnei asnua? You can't favor the child, right? We have good examples here. We have Rachel as a child named Yosef. We have Leah as a child named Reuven. Right? You may not favor the child of the one you love over the other one. Right? Why does it tell him to do that? Is the Torah in the habit of telling me what not to do before it tells me what to do? Yes, there are some cases like this where it tells you both. But the Gemara just asks, just tell me I should give my double portion to my Bechor. He's my Bechor. And then why the negative before the positive? And finally, what is Kihu Reishis Ono? Just say, ki lo mishpat ha-bechor. He's your bechor, and the bechor gets the bechor. Well, you have to tell me why he gets the bechor. Right? So you see what's coming up here. Right? Especially since Reuven is called Reuven Reishis Oni. Right? He was the first conception of Rashi even says the first zera of Yaakov. Right? So the Vilna Gaon in his Perush to Parshas Kisetse, he says that this scenario is that a man marries Leah first, like Yaakov did, and then he finds out a week later he doesn't like her anymore. And he divorces her. He's not married to Leah anymore. Unbeknownst to him, Leah is already expecting. and she gives birth 9 months later. Okay, then he's allowed to marry Rachel the next day. She has to wait 3 months, but he's allowed to be married right away. And he marries Rachel, and she's the Ahuva, and she only carries for 7 months. So don't you see what's happening? The old Lovonim, Ahuva Vahasnua. The Ahuva does give birth first. That's why he's thinking, oh good, Yosef is older than Reuven. Now you see why he has to tell him what not to do first, because this man has a strong penchant to take care of Yosef first, because he's older. No, you have to favor this guy because he's your Rachis Ono. He was conceived first. This is what appears in print in the Gaon's Perish.
And Tziv totally rejects that.
Right? The Tziv. And Rav Chaim says, now I'll tell you why he rejects it. He rejects it because that's not the halacha. Rav Chaim very famously says, this is a Talmud Torah. I don't know how it got, it answers the four questions nicely, but it's not the, by the way, the Vilna Gaon explains Psukim in the Torah against the halacha numerous times, like Rashbam. He says it's not, the halacha is not the pshat in these perushim. Right? So, all right, but be that as it may, but this is exactly what Rashi's doing. When Rashi says, "Bedin haya no tel Yaakov es habracha," you hear what's going on? He says that Yaakov al pidin, but the din is not the halacha. The din is like some kind of eternal rule that could justify what Yaakov does later in the parsha, right? Yaakov, Rashi goes out of his way very much to show that Yaakov is not lying to his father. Right, when Yaakov says Anochi Esav Bechorecha, right, the trup should end Anochi Esav, comma, Bechorecha. But that's not the trup. The trup is Anochi Esav Bechorecha. It should be Anochi Esav Bechorecha. It's Anochi, I am. So Rashi says, I am who I am. Would you believe even Ibn Ezra says this? Ibn Ezra doesn't veer off a pshat. Rashi is at takes great lengths. You should know that maybe you've read some of David Berger's books on polemics with Christians and Jews. Jews were forced into many disputations, not only about whether the Torah and the Tanakh refers to a new system or not, but they argued over the characters of the Tanakh. And Yaakov is lambasted. Some reasons the Christians actually in their disputations they associated with Haman, with Bilam, with Esav, they're all the good dechevers, and that there Haman is abused by Mordechai, Bilam is abused by Klal Yisrael, and then right, and the Sistine Chapel is a lot of the, you see Bilam, Haman is very much represented in the paintings and etc. But they associate with Esav more than with Yaakov. So you understand what Rashi's doing there. But he says with this din hayanotel Yaakov is Abracha seems to be reading like the Vilna Gaon here. Yaakov was conceived first. Remember Rashi talks about putting the two rocks into a tube, right? The rock that you put in first comes out second. So Yaakov came and said, hey, holding on to Basil, hey, get back here. I'm the Bechor, not you. Right? So it may be, I'm suggesting here, that while it's a Talmud Toe in terms of the halacha, but when Rashi says, Bedin hayanotel Yaakov is right? Bedin doesn't mean the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Bedin just means that in some kind of eternal way, we can't apply Rachis Ono because, who knows? Maybe she gave birth first. Maybe she was Mizana with another man even. I don't know. Before she, maybe this is a child from another man before she married this husband. You know what I'm saying? We have to go with what our eyes see, and our eyes see birth. Can't go with Rashi's own. No. All right. So otherwise, what does Rashi mean? Bedin hayano tel Yaakov. He doesn't mean that go look up in Shulchan Aruch, go look up in Maseches Yevamos or some other place about how to paskin this shaila. Okay. Now take to the next point. Now I'm sorry that I didn't get any of this. I only have a little bit more in print. The third question is a medrash that appears in Bereishis Rabbah that says when your boy turns 13, you should make a bracha baruch sheptarani me'onsho shel zeh. So I'm sure every different shuls have different hagim of how to do this, and it's derived from Bereishis Rabbah on the pasuk by Yigdelu Hanorim. The prevailing minhag, I was in my shul, and I was in summer camps for 25 years, and many times we had bar mitzvah boys. The prevailing minhag seems to be to say this without Shemu Malchus. You don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Sheptarani Me'olam Shoshal Zeh. The Siddurim usually have just say Baruch Sheptarani. The fact that the Medrash just says it that way is no raya. All the brachas in the ninth parak in Maseches Brachas are Baruch Shekochol Gvor Soma Le'olam, Baruch Osem Aseh Bereishis. And Rashi says there, you have to say it. But there is no Rashi on Bereishis Rabbah, so what do we do? The Mefarshim to Bereishis Rabbah bring out this discussion. And anybody have the minhag in your shuls to say with the whole bracha, with the Shema Malchus?
I mean,
I'm sorry?
The Mishnah Berurah says no hipsies. You do say Shema Malchus.
There's no hefseid in saying it b'shem Malchus. So here's the hefseid. The hefseid is that he said, but the Vilna Gaon says that. But here's the hefseid, is that there is an inyan of only saying a bracha with shem Malchus if it's mentioned in the Talmud Bavli. If it's not in the Talmud Bavli, we don't say it. Now the Vilna Gaon says, he quotes the Rishonim who bring this down, and he says that we hanusen lo yorif koach is not in the Bavli. Although I believe that Sfardim say that without Shema Malchus, the Sani Kirtzono is not in the Talmud. So to say that we don't make brachas unless it's in the Talmud, okay. Then now you can run into other issues of if the reason for saying this is that now that child is no longer suffering from my sins, right? Otherwise, how can an 11-year-old boy ever chas v'shalom come to any yisurim or chas v'shalom death? He's not chayav on anything. So how can anyone be younger than 13 ever come to such an issue? Now the Gemara that says this is true about boys as well as girls. Only boys are in this parsha. And first of all, it's not only on the father; it's on the mother too. The Magen Avraham even suggests that it's not the parent who should say this bracha, it's the child who should say this bracha. Thank God I'm no longer responsible for their... That seems to be the pshat in the Gemara. That until 13 and 12, what bad thing can possibly happen to them? It's probably the last thing a parent wants to hear when something, you know, something goes on, but it's the child who should say the bracha. So, okay, here is where there's no hefseid. Is that it should be said by the father and the mother, because the Gemara says it's not only the father. When it says children suffer for their parents, it's because my 10-year-old has no shaykhus to sukkah, no shaykhus to shofar, no shaykhus to megillah, except on my cheshbon of chinuch, right? But they do have a shaykhus to the mitzvah of kibud avahim, once they're old enough to be rebellious, right? Otherwise, how it ben sorah morah is dafka before he's bar mitzvah, right? So that's the cheshbon, that the children have to be taught properly how to do the mitzvah of kibud avahim, because that is on their cheshbon, not only for chinuch. Anyway, this is the source that we make this bracha, is Bereishis Rabbah on the pasuk by Yigdelu Hane'arim. And this seems to be a discussion also with the Rosh and the Bali HaTosfos over whether you have to start Shmona Esrei again if you forgot Zachreinu L'chaim, Micha Mocha, right? So the Rosh says you don't have to say Shmona Esrei if you forgot one of those four because it's not in the Gemara. So Tosfos says you do have to go back if you forget these four. So why, if it's not in the Gemara? Because it is in Maseches Sofrim. So the question the Aruch HaShulchan says is Maseches Sofrim considered the Gemara or not? So that's the same question we can ask. Is Bereishis Rabbah on the level of these questions? Can you say a bracha even if it's not in the Talmud Bavli? Okay, the next thing is now what you have on these sheets. I'll try to do this as quickly as possible. It's Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai V'Sarosai. What did Avraham keep? What are all these? So Ibn Ezra and Rashbam, who don't go the way of the Gemara in Yuma that says that Avraham kiyem kol haTorah kulo, right? Notice the Lashon is kiyem. Marav kiyem Avraham Avinu kol haTorah kulo. Ekev Hashem Okay, so Ibn Ezra and Rashbam say that Mishmarti refers to these mitzvahs, Chukosai refers to these mitzvahs, Mitzvosai, Sarosai, which of the seven mitzvahs can be picked up by these words. And of course he has Bris Mila, Mistami has Puri Verivya, so Avram can pick up these four words in Pshat. But the Gemara here says that Avram kiyem kol haTorah kula. And this medrash in Bereishis Rabbasi, it's not a mainstream medrash, it's not Bereishis Rabba, it's Bereishis Rabbasi written many years later. The scholarship is that it's written even towards the time of the Rishonim, the end of the Gaonim. And just read what's going on here about how to what extent were Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov observing the Torah. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Malachim that we were given, Adam was given six mitzvos, Noach was given a seventh mitzvah, Avram introduced Shachris and Bris Milah, Yitzchak introduced Mincha and Maisros, Yaakov introduced Mariv and Gid Anoshe, and then amazingly it says Amram added additional mitzvahs until Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah. All the Nosei Kelim to this Rambam say, what additional mitzvahs did Amram give? They all say, I don't know. No one has an idea what the Rambam is talking about. A Medrash that talks about Amram introducing mitzvahs. So on this is a Minchas Asher that suggests that there's a Gemara Baba Basra that talks about Amram leading a group of men to divorce their wives because of all the pain in Egypt. And then he decided, based on Miriam's advice, to remarry the wives. That, according to the Rambam's own Shita, is an introduction of mitzvahs, called Ishus. Because the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus that before Matan Torah, there was no Ishus. There was maybe jealousy that your wife shouldn't go to another man, like we see in Bereishis. And there were marriages and weddings and things, but it was, when you want to be unmarried, you just say goodbye. Right? When you be married, okay, you're my wife. You want to have a party, okay, we'll have a party. You didn't have to say Harayat Mukadeshas or anything like that, you're not Mekadushin. So Amram seems to be introducing that concept, right? Based on that Gemara in Yesh Noach. All right, so Ramban is of the opinion that the Avos kept the Torah only in Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's why Rachel has to die just before they get back to Eretz Yisrael, so Yaakov shouldn't be married to two sisters in Israel. They kept the Torah in Israel, but not outside of Israel. All right, so B'derech Tzachos. How can Yaakov tell Lavan, Im Lavan garti va'ichar ad ota? It should say, Im Lavan garti ad ota, Im Lavan echar ad ota. Maze Im Lavan garti? So, Im Lavan garti v'taryag mitzvos shamarti. Right? How can you have such a thing? He's living out in Chutz Laretz where many mitzvahs don't apply. He's married to two sisters. All right? So there's a diuk. Can you quote the Rashi? What does Rashi quote the Medrash? Im Lavan garti? What does he say? Taryag mitzvos Shamarti. So that's the diuk that many Meforshim say, is that I was not Mekiyamti, Shamarti. Be a Shomer mitzvah. I want to be a Shomer of, I don't want to take my wife to be a sultan, I don't want to divorce her either. But those are some of the mitzvahs of the Torah. How can you Mekayim more? No one is Mekayim more the mitzvahs of the Torah. But I learned Meseches Gittin, I learned Meseches Sota, therefore I am a Mekayim, not a Mekayim, but a Shomer of those mitzvahs. I'm a guardian. How is a Shomer Shabbos? Is someone who learns Meseches Shabbos. And you're a guardian of that particular halacha. All right, but that's not the lashon by Avram. It doesn't say he was a shomer mitzvah; he was a mekayem mitzvah, right? Okay, it says Avram kiyem, right? So, all right. So perhaps we can say that. I mean, this we see this in halacha by karbanos. That when you learn the halacha, it's mamish as if though you're actually doing the malach that mitzvah. No one's going to say that about tzedakah. Let's learn how it's tzedakah. Okay, it's as though you gave tzedakah. No, you don't give it tzedakah. Right? But there's some halachos that we see in Chazal. I believe Reb Shechter tells his Talmidim, you have to say the Parsha of Karbanos just as much as everything else in the davening, because in the Medrash, it's Hashem telling Avraham, when you no longer have Karbanos, you should say Karbanos. So there's an agadah of Hashem. Well, what could be more doraisa than Hashem telling someone, this is what I want you to do. Right? Okay, so that's what's going on. But why Erev Tavshilin of all things? So the Gra changes the Nusach of Erev Tavshilin to Erev Tchumen. He says someone wrote Ayin Tav, and someone made a mistake and read it Erev Tavshilin. Well, why make the correction? Because the Drasha is from the word Akev. Akev means your heel. It has to be an Erev that involves how far you walk with your heel. Okay, all right. There's a lot of Torah about Erev Tavshilin, that Avraham had so many guests coming to his house on Yontif afternoon that he would never have to, who would ever need an Erev Tavshilin to begin with? Avraham would never have to rely on. What it means, and this is really the deeper perush, is often the drash of the drash is the pshat of the Gemara. All right? The drash of the drash means that Avraham didn't look to cut any corners. He did everything al pidin, al pi the greatest effort possible. So this is why the diuk on Erev Dafka, Erev Tavshil. I'm not familiar with anyone who Dafka says it's Erev Chatzeros, but there is a discussion whether it's Erev Tavshil or Erev Tchumim. And this could be, it's possible also that if you want to say, why can't I cook on Yontif for Shabbos? Yontif is a lesser of a Kedusha than Shabbos. Why shouldn't I be able to cook on Yontif for Shabbos? So the answer is that before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah, there is a difference that Yontif might have a higher Kedusha, is that we determine Yontif. We don't determine Shabbos. But before Matan Torah, then there's no svara to say that one is better than the other. So Avram making an Erev Tavshil is again lifnim mishur sadin. Avram clearly did not give himself a bris before he was commanded. So there's it's amazing how this tangent to this discussion actually entered the psak halacha of this is a big psak halacha today of giving hatofas dam bris to possibly a geir or someone who we have a suffix whether the bris they had earlier in life was the shem geiris properly. So okay, so give him another toughest on bris. Not so fast. A toughest on bris involves a wound. You're not allowed to give a wound chabalah without proper purpose. So even though now the process is now they make this very thin metal thing that goes very sharp and it's just a tiny bit of blood and they don't even feel it. But the Maisa, I think I have a simpler reason why Avram didn't give himself a bris, is that he knew he would be mitzuvah va'osa. If he knows about sukkah, he knows about bris. He wants to wait to be mitzuvah va'osa. What's my raya? Is that there is a gemara you all know in Chagiga that says that Rebbe Elozer ben Azaria made a drusha that says that men come every 7 years after sukkahs to hear, to learn words of Torah. Women come to listen to words of Torah. Why do children come? Right, to give more reward for those who bring them. That appears in Chagiga. In the Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Rabbah, in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria makes this drasha, Rabbi Eliezer hears it and says, Ashrecha Avram Avinu, sheyotze Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria mechalatzecha, to make such a drasha like this. Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria makes hundreds of drashas in halachas. In all of rabbinic literature, Rabbi Elazar never reacts this way. There are a few, I must tell you, there are a few other places where someone says Ashrecha Avram Avinu that's a descendant of yours made such a drasha, and each one requires this kind of diuk. So I would like to suggest that what the drasha teaches the following. It's a good raya for Gadol Mitzuvah, because other when you learned it the first time in sixth grade, your Rebbe probably said something like your Yetzahara works overtime when you're commanded something, so you get more reward for being commanded. So fine, but that's just logical. Here's proof, because if the men and the women have to come for Hakehel, it's different than Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel, the men come and the women stay home with Shmuel and Ovi, and then when he's still until he's old enough, and they stay home with the kids. And if they can afford a babysitter or they can afford enough transportation to take the kids with them, they will. And there are the guidelines, the beginning of Chagiga, how old the boy has to be, etc., etc. So, but when you tell the men and the women that you have to do this mitzvah, do you think everyone in Israel is going to leave their kids in Haifa and in Tzfas and come down to do the mitzvah? The whole north of Israel is going to be just kids? Of course they're going to take their kids with them. So why tell them to do what they're going to do anyway? So when Avram Avinu hears this drasha, for the first time until Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria, I was always worried up here in Shemayim that maybe I did the wrong thing by waiting to give myself a bris. Right? All right. Okay, so that's by Yishmor Mishmarti, Mitzvosai, Chukosai, Vesorosai. Now let's look at number five. Hashem tells Abraham, Al Tered Mitzrayim. Don't leave Israel to go to Egypt. Stay in. I don't have these Makaros here. He says, don't leave Israel to go to Egypt. Stay here. And Abraham ends up going to the Eretz Plishtim.
Yitzchak.
This is a problem because in Meseches Shviyas, in Yerushalmi Shviyas, the area of Geror is called outside of Eretz Yisrael for Inyanim of Shviyas by Hasheni. So how could Hashem tell him stay in this land And he goes to a place that Yerushalmi Shviya says is not part of Israel. So the answer is, well, it is. It's Kitsha L'Shaita, Lo Kitsha L'Asid Lava. It was Kodesh at the time. When we went into Golis from the Babylonians, Ezra had to re-Mekadesh. And Mesechah Shviyas, there are other sugyas in Zeroyim, Yerushalmi, that give you different cheshbonos of what's in Eretz Yisrael for Bikurim, what's outside of Eretz Yisrael for Bikurim, etc., etc. Whether we keep in Daraisa, whether we keep in Darabanan. But the Gemaras in Yerushalmi, in Mesechah Shviyas, they say that Ezra was not Mekadesh, the areas near Ashdod and by the coast. But that is totally part of Eretz Yisrael, and the raya is Hashem says Gur ba'aretz hazos, and that's where he went. There's another interesting raya in the beginning of Parshas Mishalach, where it says that Bnei Yisrael didn't go up the coast, right, up the coast towards Eretz Yisrael. Now this is not like Rashi's reading, where it says ki karov hu, which means even though that was the closer way to go up to Eretz Yisrael, they went all the way around, right? Because Peninochem Ba'amir Osamama, right? Lest they're about to say Chil Ochaz Yoshve Ploshes, they psych themselves out. The Plishtim are afraid of us, right? The Gemara says it in Chelek because of the bones of Ephraim that they had killed 30 years earlier. But so here is where they avoided going. So Abarbanel asks in his parish, why? Why if you see Mechama here, right? So God, fight for them again. Fought for them down here. Why won't you fight for them here? You're about to split the sea for them. What's keeping Hashem from fighting for Bnei Yisrael in case they see Milchama passing the land of the Plishtim? Right. So the Barbanel answer is because this is part of Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem will fight for them outside in any way possible. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's a din in Kibush Haaretz. And Hashem did help Yehoshua, no doubt, but we still had to raise the arms. Right, something at this early time in our history, after as we're leaving Egypt, we might not have been ready to do. So when Hashem tells Yitzchak, Gur ba'aretz hazos, okay. So in Derech Tzachos, the Meshech Chochma says something amazing. When Yosef sends for Yaakov to come to Mitzrayim, it says Vayishlach kozos, he sent like this, and then it says he sent 20 donkeys laden with goods to bring to Yaakov, make it a very comfortable trip, right? So Rashi says, kozos goes on what's following. But that's a totally extra extraneous word. What do you mean, vayishlachem kozos? Yeah, I need kozos to tell me, just say vayishlachem 20 donkeys filled radiant with goods. So the Meshech Chochma, with his characteristic charifus, he says that the pasuk right before is what kozos is talking about, where he gave Binyamin 300 shkolim, according to the Medrash, because an eved is worth 30 shkolim. Yosef was sold as an Eved. So the 10 boys, this is a kapara for the 30 times 10. Beautiful. But the Meshech Chochma says, no, this is a Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadik Aleph, that says that you are not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael in a time of a famine until wheat is sold a sa'a b'sela. One sa'a of wheat for one sa'a. So here you have it. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, how much can one donkey carry? 15 sa'a. How much do 20 donkeys carry? 300 sa'a. 300 shekel, 300 sa'a. Yaakov, you can come down. You don't have to remain where you are. Hashem told your father, Gur ba'aretz hazos, but you have a different destiny. You can come down. Okay? All right. Let's say. What about the shinui mipnei hashalom? That is just so overwrought. How was Yaakov... he's listening to his mother to defy his father. So there are many different terutzim, right? The father you have to mechabed more, the mother you have to fear more, because it's compensate for what usually people do. So did he dishonor his father? Well, Rashi gives a simple answer. Rashi says that when he said, Vayakveni zet ha'amayim hachi karashmo Yaakov, now I know why his name is Yaakov, he keeps tricking me. And Yitzchak says, what? When did he do this to you before? And he said, yeah, when we were younger. I came in from the field and he, right? Well, why didn't you tell me that? The Bechor Shor was a great Malamit Zchus for Klal Yisrael in his Perush. The Bechor Shor says, I'm used to hearing from everybody about how immoral Yaakov is behaving in this parasha. It's Esav who's acting immorally. He should have told his father in the beginning of the fifth Aliyah, that, Dad, you're making a mistake. This is not my bracha. I sold it when we were younger. Yaakov is just going, and he's listening to his mother to do it. Right? He's fearing his mother, even though he is maybe dishonoring his father. But even still, Rashi goes out of his way to show that Yaakov is Tozeh b'ni Esav, Vayomer, Ani. I am who I am. Right? Okay, but listen, there's no doubt. It's not the way of the Torah to say, Vayas Yaakov hara b'enei Hashem, when he told his father this. There's no doubt that, well, Yitzchak seems immediately to say, Gam baruch yiyeh. I can give you a bracha. But Gam baruch yiyeh, the bracha has to stand, even though it was under false pretense. I thought it was you all this time. But he's telling him that you know, if you're telling me now that Vayagreni is b'chora sila kach, then Gam baruch yiyeh. That's Rashi's cheshbon. Right? So now, it's at this point, so Yitzchak is it's time to justify what he did. He tries to tell him to justify what he did to Yaakov, so this is the question that Yaakov was mishane, was once you can say mipnei hashalom. The Gemara says that mutar la'adam l'shanos mipnei hashalom. You can change something around. What's the shalom here? He's listening to his mother, right? Now Yaakov does express the fear of getting caught. Ulayim musheni avi, but he's even enough kimsate. My father will feel me, and I'll be right. So she says, let the curse be on me. So Rashbam asks, what kind of good son is afraid of being cursed, but says, okay, I'll do it, the curse will be upon my mother? What kind of expression is that? So that's where Rashbam says, that's where she finally told him, Varav Ya'avot Seir, Yaakov, this is your destiny, you have to do this. Right? Now, the question, did she ever tell him that before? Why did she wait till he's in his 60s or 70s to tell him that? All right, Azoy, But that's where she convinced him. This is what you have to do. It's your destiny. So Yaakov, he's afraid of. He knows that Yitzchak is going to find out at some point that I did this, right? Okay, so that's the presentation that Rashi gives us. And even there's a story in Yevamos right after this story. One is Samach Beis, one is Samach Gimel. That Rav's wife was very contrary. Whenever if Rav would ask for A, she would give him B. So one time Rav asked for lentils, and the son asked for rice, and he got lentils. So Rav got what he wanted. He says, "Oh, your mother's doing tshuva. I'm so happy." So he says, "Dad, I'm sorry, but I asked for something else. That's why you got your lentils." So he said, "My son, you did an avera. You lied to your mother, and it says in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Limdu l'shonam daver sheker. You're teaching yourself to lie." So the Marshal and the Marshal each ask a question. One, why couldn't Rav's son quote the Gemara? Or the Gemara in Ksuvas, Ketzad Meraktim Bifnei Akala, Kalanova, Chasudim, if you don't think so. That's the earliest source. The Ritva says that's the grandfather of all the sources of Shinu Bifnei Shalom. There are 10 of them in Chazal. This is the earliest one. It's Basil Beis Shammai. You don't think she's beautiful, but you should still tell her something. Right? So, all right, Rishonim, if we allow how that works. But why couldn't Rav's son say, "Dad, I was lying to mom in the interest of peace"? And why are you quoting me a pasuk from Yirmiyahu? Limdu l'shonam daber sheker tznaf Torah v'tisha b'av. When you have good pasukim in the Torah, da mitvar sheker tircha, go to shakru, what's going on? So it's the Marshal answers that it's the limdu l'shonam is the ikar. Is that for what we call a white lie, a shinu mitnei, it's not a sheker mitnei shalom, it's a shinu mitnei shalom, is if it's going to cause to lie again, you're going to have to lie again to back up this lie. That's why Rav quoted him from Limdu Lashon, my son, and you're going to have to get between me and mom every time. The next time I ask for something directly without you in the middle, I'm going to find out that, hey, didn't you give me lentils yesterday? You asked for rice. He goes, no, I asked for lentils. Well, Shimon said you asked for rice. Right? So then it's no longer a Shinu Mipnei Hashalom. It appears, and that's the Marshal. The Marshal says that if the person you're lying to is like to find out that you lied to them, then you can't tell the lie because it's not going to bring shalom at all. It appears that I got it to about Aharon, who would go to both sides and tell them that the other one wants to make peace with you. It's likely that each one is going to find out sometime soon how that happened. So, and still, the Medrash seems to say that that's okay. So, okay. But when it comes to Yaakov saying these words to his father, his main fear is getting caught before he gets the bracha. Right? So she says, "Olai kilalos chavani, let the curse be on me." So that's when Yaakov said years later, the famous Gaon, "Olai hayu kulana, Esav, Lavan, Yosef." Right? It's a big problem. Yaakov faces two mortal enemies in Parshas Vayetze of someone named Lavan, Bikesh Lavan Lakoras Akol, someone named Edom in Parshas Vayishlach, right? According to Rashi, he doesn't hide his hatred. He takes 400 men. If he didn't come out to kill Yaakov, at least he came out with them to show that I can. I'm just a nice guy and I won't. Right? Sforno says, because Yaakov had just fought with the angel and he came out limping, and yet Esav said, "Oh, I really wanted to kill him, but what kind of fight is that? The paper is going to say Esav kills limping brother. Ugh, a brach." So, all right, be it as it may, the enemy in Vayetze, his name is Lavan, because he's transparent, but you can't see the hatred. It's not clear like Edom. Edom's hatred comes right out at us. He's a Molek. He's no hiding it, right? One comes at you like a terrorist. One wears a suit and tries to bargain with you. But what Yaakov was able to survive both types of enemies, well, the one in Vayetze, the one in Vayishlach, but the one in Vayeshev, remember the Olai, Esav, Lavan, Yosef, the internal strife caused in Parshas Vayeshev, that's the one that really did Yaakov in, and that's when he said, "Olai hayu kulana," when all that is happening. I want to close with Rashi, who says that not one but two different hints tipped off Yitzchak that he was in the presence of Yaakov, not Esav. Question is, why does Rashi need two hints? One was that he said, "Kumna shavavach lamitzvi," right? Which Rashi says means, "Please get up." And the other one is, "Ki yikra Hashem Elokecha lefanai, ein shem Hashem shgura b'fiv shel Esav." And he says, "Ein na shgura b'fiv shel Esav." Why did Rashi need two reasons for Yitzchak to be thinking that he's in the presence of Yaakov? So here's perhaps a little mussar, is that to be a man who's constantly mentioning Hashem and constantly running to get to a minyan and get to... So we tend to look at the line waiting to get to the Kotel sometimes right before Shkia, and you see that you know, I have those other people waiting online aren't going to something as important as what I'm doing. And it's probably true, right? But that does not give us an excuse. There's signs at the Kotel that say this. Please be aware that the courtesy is very important to the people from all around the world. Their impression of Israelis is sometimes determined by what happens on this line. It's all in Hebrew, right? And you have to make mincha, you have to make a shir, you're giving a shir, whatever it is, but then come on time, then come early, right? So to be a hikra Hashem Elokecha, you're running and jumping, you're always with the Hashem fat, and hastens my steps, but you also have to be courteous, right? On the other side, the courteous one, because all right, he's not going to a shir, he's a pensioner, he's going, I have plenty of time. So it's there. The key is to be both the Na kind of person and the Kro Hashem Elokecha. But here's a problem. Na is part of Esav's vocabulary. He uses it in the Parsha. He says, "Haliteni Na min ha'adoma adoma zeh." Right? Now, Na means two different things in the Torah. It can, when Targum wants it to mean now, the Targum is Ke'an. When he wants it to mean please, the Targum is Bevau. Most of the time it's Ke'an. Like, "Kel Na refon Na la" means, "God, please heal her now." Right? So when na is usually attached to a verb, right? Haliteni na. It usually means now, but in a few places it can mean please. Right? When Hashem tells Moshe, "Daber na be'oznei ha'am," right? The Gemara in Brachos Daf Tes says it means, "Please speak to the people. I know you're not likely, you don't want to do this, but I'm asking you to do this because I promised Avram Avinu that they'll leave Mitzrayim with wealth. If you don't, they'll leave with wealth." He'll say, "Oh, that's great." So the Marshayas, it's on this Gemara, it's the Chachamim on Rashi who brings it. He says, shouldn't Hashem have to keep his promise because that's the right thing for Hashem to do? Regardless of what Avram's going to say, Avram would probably give Hashem a pass on this. So the Marsha answers that when Hashem said, Achreichen Yetzu Berchush Gadol, he meant the Torah, or possibly Eretz Yisrael. The land was already muhsak to those leaving Mitzrayim, which was the Chochmah of the Bnei Slavcha. So I keep my promise even without giving him a scintilla of wealth. But Avram thought I meant money. So you have to, Moshe, you have to do what Avram thought I meant. When a Jew reads Psukim and they think it's the Torah, so you get him on that, it becomes his Torah. And I want to fulfill what Avram thought I meant by Rechush Gadol. Rechush Gadol, even Ezra says, means the land of Israel, it means the Torah, it means a lot of different things. Right? So B'derech Tzachos, that's why Moshe said later on in Parshas Kisiso, so you want to kill them at the Egel? Mecheni no misifrecha. Take that word no out of Parshas Bo, and I wouldn't have asked them for money. They wouldn't have the money. They wouldn't have made an Egel. Right? I only got the money because you begged me. Right? Hashem's not in the habit of begging. He's in the habit of commanding. So here I would like to suggest that when Yaakov comes in from the field and he's cooking lentils, and Esav says, I gotta have this right now, I can pour it down my throat. He goes, calm down. Zaidi just died. What's the matter with you? What did you do today? And he tells him all these terrible things the Medrash says. And he says, aren't you upset about this? Yeah, I'm very upset, but I'm starved. Give me some food. And he says, now if you know about lentils, now lentils may be different than, but lentils are red only when they're raw. They turn brown when you cook them. So he says, I gotta have it. I just started cooking them, Esav. They're still raw. And he said, I don't care. I just thought the color red defines me. Pour it down my throat. No means a third thing in the Torah. Al tochal mimenu no. Now, no is called raw probably because I want it now. I don't want to wait till it's cooked. I have to have it now. So the Torah came up with a word, no, for raw. So Yaakov is telling him, these lentils are still raw. I just started cooking them. And he says, I don't care. Haliteni no. So no is part of your Esav's vocabulary, but not when it means please. Okay? So that's why Yitzchak said, this can't be Esav. He said, no. But wait, Esav does say no in the parsha. Yeah, but it meant something else. Now there is Esav does speak in third person. He says Yokum Aviv Yochal Mitzeh Beno, and there is indication from we don't have Hebrew at that time yet because the Torah is written much later. But we do have Akkadian and other languages from that time period where it does seem that speaking in third person is called for when you're speaking to someone who's on a higher madrega, like a king or something like that. Looking at Sheva books, the David book, that's much later. But it seems that it's Esav who's talking. Yokum Aviv Yochal Mitzeh Beno Bavur Tuchan Nefshecha is, but that's okay because Esav is very famous for his Kibbutz Avaim, as Biladon Ben Biladon and Dama Ben Nisina. It seems the Goyim have paradigms for Kibbutz Avaim. Azoy. So okay, this is this now. If I just may review, can you sell a birthright? The answer is yes. Bedin hayano tal Yaakov is abracha. There's some kind of ruchnius thing that means. It's not a halacha because Yaakov wasn't born first, and we only go after Leda, Kavachoma with twins, but even with two different children, that's the Vilna Gaon and Ruchim. Vayishmor mishmarti mitzvosaychu kosay v'sorosay. The different opinions about what Avram kept. Vayigdilu hanearim, the boys becoming older, and the mitzvah of Baruch Shep Tarani. You see that many poskim say that if you say without Shema Malchus, there's no hefseid. The father can say it for his son and his daughter when she turns 12, and the mother should say it too because her cheshbon is also on them. It says parents, not just the father and his son. It's both parents on boys and girls. So it's shayach to say both parents for all children who turn 13 for boys, 12 for girls. Al tered mitzrayma, don't worry about going down to Egypt. What's considered chutz laretz, what's considered an excuse to go down to chutz laretz. The Shinui Mipnei HaShalom, we just did the Dibur Benochach, to speak in third person. There's a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Aleph of Egris Moshe that says that it's a big cheshbon with because Yoshua refers to Moshe by his name. He says, Adoni Moshe Kloei. He should have just said spoken in third person. You can't call a party a Rebbe by his name to his face. So the Shach in Yoredei, in Hilchos Kibud Avayim and Hilchos Kibud Morim, he says that you're never allowed to address a Rebbe by name in his presence. So the Torah Tzmima on that pasuk in Parshas Baalosra says the Shach forgot this pasuk, right? And the Moshe and the Tshuva really clobbers him over this. He says Adoni, and that's the way people looked. They didn't last names then, right? So all right, but anyway, Ayin Shami, you want to look Adoni Moshe Klaim in the Torah Tzmima, and the conflict of honoring parents. You know, the Yaakov chose to honor his mother. Was it a dishonor? You know, okay, he chose to fear his mother over, you know. So I'll close with a story. The Beis Halevi was once studying with Rav Chaim, and his father asked him. The father asked him for water at the same time that the mother asked for water, and he got the father first. The Gemara says the mother also has to mechabed the father. So he answered. The father said, "Maybe you should always give your mother because I'm only the chazaka of being your father, as opposed to your mother, because Ro Bilo Sacharabal." And your mother is, people saw, there was a nurse, there was a midwife, they saw that you were born from your mother. So maybe Jews should always do give their mother first, because it's a edus rather than a chazaka. So the kid is 5 years old, he thinks, "Dad, how would I be honoring mother by giving her water first on the possibility that maybe you're not my father?" Right? Right? So Yaakov is honoring both, and Bezu Hashem, we should all come to realize Tala Shemayim and Shemane Aretz as well as Birkas Abba. Go ahead.
I saw another chat about Noach. It said that Rechush Gadol is all the spiritualist Gadol that they had the Yilchid.